The 14th conference of John Cashin is the place where he describes the fourfold method of spiritual exegesis. We've seen a fourfold method in Clement, and then a kind of a more threefold method in Origen, and a kind of a hint of a threefold method in Evagrius. Cashin moves a fourfold approach, which becomes classical in the Western Church. He describes a fourfold method that is continuously used in the approach to the scriptures that is taken from this point onwards, and people quote this conference constantly and the description of these four levels. In fact, his method of allegory becomes a way of interpreting later medieval literature, and one has to be cautious because in the literary analysis of medieval literature, this fourfold method is not often approached with the understanding that it is rooted in experience of God and constantly in a sense of prayer, which is fundamental to Cashin. For example, if one is using Cashin's method to interpret, say, Spenser's Faerie Queen, which is often done, or later post-medieval Renaissance literature, it's perfectly legitimate. Many authors were aware of these multiple levels and were specifically writing at them. But the method that tends to be used in departments of literature and English literature, for example, will not often be as sensitive to the contemplative spiritual dimension of the text, which for Cashin is absolutely fundamental. These are methods based on experience of God. They are not simply ways of getting information about the text. They are different, if you will, colors of a spectrum by which the divine radiates out to us and invites us to appropriate God through the medium of the biblical text. So, Conference 14 begins with the first seven chapters having to do with illustrations of just the most basic understanding of a distinction between the historical level or the level of ascetical practice on the one hand and the contemplative level, the level of theoretiki and practiki. These he takes directly from Evagrius. These are approaches that Cashin has inherited and which he is now passing on to the West. He makes this distinction fundamental. And remember, this is the same distinction that we found in Philo, illustrated by the two different groups of people, the Essenes, who are ascetics primarily, and the Therapeutae, who use their ascetical practice as a way of discovering deeper spiritual meanings. And in the first seven chapters, Cashin illustrates this twofold approach in a variety of ways. But if we could now drop down to chapter 8, which is about a quarter of a way down the text, chapter 8 on spiritual knowledge. Here we find that he gives us this distinction, this division of what he calls spiritual knowledge, the quest for deeper meanings in the text. This deeper level is threefold, but if you bear in mind that for him the historical or literal level is separate from this, that results in a fourfold method. There's the historical sense, and then he says there is the deeper spiritual sense. Spiritual knowledge, he says, is divided into three kinds: tropological, allegorical, and anagogical. In other words, moral, symbolic, typological in allegory, and anagogy, which has to do with heaven or the world to come. And he roots this in the verse of Proverbs, you describe these things in three ways according to the wideness of your heart. And he gives an illustration taken from St. Paul, who is indeed using allegory in the text that Cashin goes on to describe. If we drop down a little bit to the section where he talks about the four previously mentioned scriptures, the four previously mentioned texts, he gives an example here beginning immediately with the section, the passage that begins, "And so the history embraces knowledge of things past and visible." He gives an example here of allegory as having to do with the symbols on the one hand of Mount Sinai and of the Jerusalem, which is now present. But he then describes what he means by anagogy. It's a kind of a development of the mystical or allegorical sense. Anagogy, he says, rises from spiritual mysteries to even to still more sublime and sacred secrets of heaven. It's the Jerusalem that is above. And he said in the same paragraph, the tropological sense is the moral explanation, which has to do with the improvement of life, with practical teaching. Putting it quite simply, the moral level or tropology has to do with ethical change, improvement in our morals, a sense of the movement from vice to virtue. Allegory for him has to do with a typological or spiritual interpretation that often has to do with doctrine, with Christian doctrine or Christian teaching, rooted in the experience of the created order. Examples very often drawn from nature that illustrate spiritual teaching. And anagogy has to do with this time-transcending sense, a vision of the heavenly, a looking into the life to come, a piercing beyond the ordinary and beholding what lies ahead for us literally at the end of time. This is Cashin's fourfold method that is absolutely classical in the Western tradition from this time forward, but it's important for us to be aware of, and I invite you to go ahead and spend time reflecting on this text. That gives illustrations of it, reflecting on the fact that for him it is always, at every level, a discovery of different experiences of the presence of God. It's not that the moral sense is less spiritual or is somehow less an immediate presence of God than even the anagogical. They are different ways in which we find God in the spiritual text. All of them are the divine presence. All of them are invitations for us to move into deeper relationship with God.